With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's now time for the most electrifying segment in sports radio. Gwen and Chris go through the best of the rest in the Big Five.
I told you I was rusty the other day. Not so rusty anymore, guys.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Number five.
All right, Jaguars head coach. You guys are saying that you're starting to like the Jaguars a little bit, especially Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey, I think we're saying we like. Although
Chris gave me a look. What's going on?
Didn't Chris pick him for a Super Bowl?
No, that was Titans.
That was Titans. You picked.
I picked the Titans.
Who Matt Camp is very down on.
What did he say about the Dolphins? Or he said the Lions aren't as bad as the Dolphins.
Yeah, just tear me up. I want this guy's head in. I want him in studio. I want him to look me in the eye and say all this stuff.
He lives in the East Coast, so I don't think he's going to be here anytime soon. All right. Well, Jaguars head coach Doug Marrone was asked the other day in a press conference because, you know, they're playing the Patriots and all the AFC Championship talk is all over the place. And listen to what he said about the Super Bowl.
Usually so off. I can't handle it. I just always said, you know, hey, listen, I just don't watch it. That's why I watch enough tape during the year.
So that was Doug Marrone talking about how he doesn't watch the Super Bowl. So my questions to you guys are, do you believe him, an NFL coach, not watching the Super Bowl? So, Tony, do you buy it, and do you think it's a good idea?
Yeah, I buy it. I know guys who play baseball and don't watch the World Series if they're not a part of it. I think it's, especially when you're that close to it, I could totally understand you not wanting to see another team celebrate a championship that you felt like you had a pretty good chance to have and you missed out on it.
Yeah, Jacksonville was ahead, right, in the second half against New England. They were so close to getting to the Super Bowl. I think it would be very difficult to watch it at all.
Right.
So, yeah, I totally buy the fact that he didn't watch it last year. The fact that he's never watched a Super Bowl.
Since 12 years old.
Yeah, that I find a little difficult to believe.
That's a little strong.
It seems to me he's probably at least flipped by the channels one time because I'll tell you. Well, here's the thing. They put the worst programming in TV
possible.
History.
Right, there's nothing
against the Super Bowl because they know nobody's going to watch it.
Puppy Bowl. The Puppy Bowl's at halftime.
No, the Puppy Bowl's before the Super Bowl. Believe me, my wife watches.
Halftime.
No, my wife makes me watch the Puppy Bowl before
Listen
the Super Bowl.
Listen to a man Bowl. Who has to watch it.
Okay, I've seen the Puppy Bowl. It's not at the same time as the Super Bowl.
Okay.
It's on its
remember
own time
schedule.
Remember when
they did
schedule.
Celebrity Deathmatch in the middle of the Super Bowl?
I do remember that. Halftime. I used to like that, though.
They've done some crazy things, but
Celebrity Deathmatch.
I believe Doug Marrone has watched a Super Bowl, but I can believe that he didn't watch last year's.
Yeah, because
I can believe that for sure.
Blake Bortles wasn't going to do anything for him.
Number four.
Drew Brees had some really nice things to say about Baker Mayfield in a conference call the other day. He said that he thinks Baker Mayfield could end up being better than him one day. So he's kind of saying Baker Mayfield might be a Hall of Famer. Chris, how important is this statement by Drew Brees?
Who the Saints playing this week, Matt Scraby?
Are they playing the Browns?
Yes, they are.
Oh, okay, there we go.
So what would you expect him to say when some writer asks him about a guy that he might be playing this week?
Gamesmanship, man. Just say, no, I'm better than him.
Of course he's going to say that Baker Mayfield. I'm going to tell you, I'll take it a step further. Drew Brees could say that any quarterback out there could be better than him because the physical gifts of Drew Brees don't match up with a whole lot of guys. But he outworked almost all of them to get where he is. So I think Drew Brees looks at a lot of guys and say they can be as good as I am.
Tony, what do you think?
Here's the thing is I don't recall ever hearing anything out of Drew Brees' mouth like this before. So
me,
that says he's seen him and thinks very highly of him. I mean, I've seen Drew Brees work in person. I don't know that I've ever met anybody who works as hard as this guy does. So if Baker Mayfield is working half as hard as Drew Brees, I can promise you Drew Brees is probably going to be right if that's what he's saying.
I mean, Drew, you better listen to him. I would think that would be a huge pump
Baker
up.
Mayfield.
I guarantee you, from what we know of Baker Mayfield from watching Hard Knocks, he seems like the type of dude that would listen to that and get to work.
Seems to me to be the kind of guy that would head for the trailer and go have a nap. Sorry.
Oh, the one that Brad Paisley is going to be buying because he's a big fanboy.
He was a straight fanboy.
Really what funny. An embarrassment that was for Brad Paisley.
What?
It really was.
What about when he did the speech and he's like, everybody, one, two, three.
Just if you have a chance to watch an episode again, just watch
Hard Knocks number three.
Some of the eyes like that are looking at him like this dude. What is
going on?
Yeah.
Number three.
Antonio Brown is in a little trouble after something he tweeted to a reporter. The reporter wrote an article about his Instagram usage and how it may be a distraction for him as a player. So Antonio Brown tweeted at him, at Jesse Washington, wait till I see you, bro. We gon' see what your jaw look like. So he's pretty much saying he's going to punch him in the face. Jesse Washington of ESPN's The Undefeated screenshot this and then tweeted out himself. But after much back and forth, AB took the tweet down and apologized. And the same goes for the reporter. So, Tony, do you think that AB should have faced more punishment than just having to apologize?
No. Nothing was ever said. It was just some words that were being thrown around. And, you know, he came to his senses and realized he needed to apologize. He apologized. And both seemed to have kind of shook hands and washed, you know, water under the bridge at that point, and you move on.
Chris, what do you think?
I agree. You know,
I actually think that reporters...
I'll go back to the old saying. I mean, how many times have we said it on this show? I'll tell Antonio Brown, don't hit the send button.
Right.
But beyond that, you know...
Anytime you're starting to, when you're looking at your own tweet and you're questioning if there's a slight hesitation, don't send it.
Yeah.
I think Antonio Brown in that moment's like, this is perfect. And he sends it back, and then he probably thinks, oh gosh, I probably should have sent that.
According to Antonio Brown in his apology, he said he still disagreed with the personal stuff that was written in there. And so in his mind, he's reading this, he's probably getting fired up, and he's probably typing as he's reading, and then he just hits send. And then all of a sudden, you see the first comment, and you're like, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Did you ever start reading something that was written about you that you kind of said to yourself, maybe I should just stop here?
Because
if I keep reading this, I'm going to just lose my mind.
If I actually ever stop, no. But I've told myself you shouldn't keep reading. Your feelings are only going to get hurt.
It's just going to be...
You're
going to
be irritated. Right. But there's just... You keep reading it.
How'd your dad deal with criticism?
My dad had pretty thick skin.
Yeah?
He did. I mean, if you said something that it was completely outrageous, he was the type that would confront you and say it to you and have that issue in your face.
He'd be straight up.
And then you guys would, you know, hash it out. And after it was done, if it was legit, he'd move on. It wasn't like he would hold grudges.
And you'd know that it was all over when he'd give you that good laugh at the end.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been on all the message boards. I mean, and if you're a broadcaster, you're going to get ripped.
Yeah.
So I still go on the stupid message boards and don't mind reading me.
Where are
ripped.
These message
my
boards?
First,
I don't not going to tell you.
My first time like really going through this when I was a prospect in a Brewers organization, you get wind of like there's a site that you can go to and you see how people feel about you. It's the worst thing I ever did in my life.
Yeah, I know.
Because then you started realizing like everybody doesn't like you. Everybody doesn't think you can play.
No.
And it for a 22, 23 year old. It stings. It stings. I had to get to the point where I just stopped looking at it because I knew it was only going to lead me down a rabbit hole.
Now, as a side note, do you think that there's anything to this guy's story that Antonio Brown is a little too much into social media? Because remember when he Facebook Lived last
year? That was too far.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's...
Because he's saying, he pretty much said, like, Antonio Brown, out of all the athletes, MLB, NBA, and NFL, he's the one who Instagrams the most at, like, four posts a day.
And he's probably the most productive out of all of those people that you've talked about.
Yeah,
look at his numbers. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it boils down to. He's
productive.
He can
do whatever he wants as long as he's that good.
Exactly.
Number two.
Dwayne Wade is now 36 years old. Can you believe that Dwayne Wade is 36 years old? And he hasn't made a decision on whether or not he's going to play in the NBA next season, but sources have said he will play again if that team assures him of a role he approves of. So, Chris, let's start with you. How much time do you think he has left, and how many teams will come calling?
I think he has no time left, and I think nobody should come calling, especially under those circumstances. I absolutely adore Dwayne Wade, one of my all-time favorite players when he was at his peak, when he led Miami to that one championship, and I know Shaq gets a lot of credit for it, but it wasn't Shaq. That was Dwayne Wade. Spectacular Hall of Fame level basketball, but that was 10 years ago, and I just don't see him having much left.
Tony?
I think he's got 1 year left under the circumstance of being a sixth man off the bench, like he did when he came back to Miami in the second half of the season. I think that's the role that he would accept. Obviously, he would accept a starting role, too, but I think most teams are going to be thinking of it that way if they're going to bring him back. And I think he would be accepting of it. He's already shown that he's willing to do it. I just don't think he'd be one of those guys that's just sitting on the bench going through a farewell tour. I don't think that's something he's interested in.
Where was he last? Was he with the Bulls?
He finished the year with Miami.
Yeah, that's right.
They lost it. They lost to Philadelphia in the first round.
That is right. Dwayne Wade 1 year, side note, personal side note in fantasy basketball. That 1 year that he had a great year was on my team, won the championship. Thank you. Thank you, Dwayne Wade. Thank you, D-Wade.
Number one.
Or should I call him Flash? Should I call him
Either
Flash?
Either one. They both work.
Two big names in baseball are most likely going to retire after the season. New York Mets third baseman David Wright had a press conference today, a very emotional press conference. And Twins catcher Joe Mauer has also said, alluded that he may retire. So, Tony, let's start with you. How are these guys going to be remembered?
I know David Wright, for one, is going to remember as a class act. I know he's one of the nicest dudes you'll meet on the field. When he was healthy, he was one of the best third basemen in the game, best players in the game, let alone third baseman. So I think both players ultimately will be remembered as good, really good baseball players, guys that may fall short of Hall of Fame status, but when they were playing, they were among the best.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Everything Tony said about Joe Mauer. Now, let's talk about David Wright for a moment. This is one of the problems with being a professional athlete. Because I once went up to David Wright with a tape recorder in my hand and said, way before a game, like 3 hours before a game, the Mets were in town. I said, hey, do you have like 5 minutes for a quick interview? He said, nope, I have to go get some work done or some treatment. I said, okay. He then proceeded to sit down in front of his locker and watch TV for an hour straight without getting any treatment, without doing anything other than completely ignoring me after he had just told me to go take a hike. I don't necessarily hold that against David Wright, but now that I just told that story to everybody else out there, the fact that you think he's a class act, he very well may be, but I saw him at his worst, at least that day. And I don't give him a break for that. And maybe that's not fair, but that's
fair.
Just the way it is.
Because Tony's biting his tongue.
It's definitely not fair because
I know
we all walk in here with having a bad day from time to time. All three of us do. And I still consider you a class act.
Look at that. But I kind of understand what Chris is saying. It takes a lot of guts to go up to those guys and ask them for questions.
Does it? It's part of your job, though.
Yeah, but it's still scary.
I don't think it was gutty. The thing that bothered me is that he said, no, I have to go get treatment and then sat in his locker and watched TV.
Just tell me that's wrong.
Just tell me, no, I'm not up for it today. And I would have been cool with that. Because a lot of guys have turned, interviews down. I get that. They're not always in the mood. But he just kind of flat out lied. Either that or maybe his treatment got canceled. I don't know. It's just funny that I always think of that when I see David Wright. And it's unfair. It's just like if somebody bumps into you one time.
I don't think it's unfair, though, because here's the thing is, weren't we all told by our parents, sometimes you only get one chance to make a good impression?
Yeah, true.
And he had that one chance with you in particular.
Right.
He didn't make a good impression. So you have the right to now feel like, hey, this guy might be a jerk. That is why we're told that as young people, young developing people, we're told that you only sometimes get one chance to make a first impression. He made that first impression on you, and that's your now.
The
that's
thing
your
that
opinion.
Worries me is how many times people have probably said hi to me walking by, and I've kind of cold shouldered them totally by accident.
Right. Scraby when he was an intern.
Wait a minute, Scraby, I do that now to you.
I know. So nothing
when
has
you
changed.
Were an intern.
Nothing has changed.
But I know there's a lot.
I get your point, though.
There's a lot of people that probably think, man, that guy's really a tough egg to crack. And I feel like I'm pretty nice and approachable, but I guarantee you there's times when people have approached.
Sometimes, I think there's no doubt, and this is all of us included. When you're in a comfortable state and somebody approaches you, it's different than when you might have your guard up because right. you may not know somebody around you, you know? Right. So you get different answers sometimes.
Well, I'm going to go with your answer on David Wright, well over mine, because you certainly know the guy. I only have one quick run-in with him, but I bring the story up because it's just one of those.
Makes sense.
I think it's important that's
interesting.
That's
how those things work.
I think it's important to get all angles, and I think that My experience is generally on the baseball field when we're competing against one another.
Sure.
So
mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm given the benefit of the doubt because I have a uniform on and I'm in the brotherhood. Maybe.
I'm thinking David Wright's probably a pretty good guy. He just probably had treatment and then the treatment guy told him he wasn't ready for him.
Or like you said,
TV.
He just could have just told you the truth. It's like I don't.
Or
feel like
just told
it.
Me the truth yeah. and it would have been fine. But you know what? David Wright is gonna suit up. They just announced this today. He's yeah. going to play one last game
he's
for the
start
Mets
one last game.
At third base. And I think that's a classy move by the Mets to allow him to do that.
Which the Mets have been struggling to have some of those kind of moves lately.
Classy moves. They could use a classy move.
Well, they need the ticket sales, that's for sure.
Well, David Wright
that's
was
all for the Big
my bad,
Five
my
from Gwynn and Chris on 97.3.
Still
fan.
A little rusty, obviously.
He's a fine
always.
Player. I think Maurer goes down as a little better player than David Wright. Boy, that's close, though.
It is.
Because Maurer has a batting title, but... God, David Wright was good too. They're both good. I'd have to like call them up side by side.
Do you
really
remember when
it.
David Wright came up in New York, like how big of a deal it was?
Yeah.
Huge deal.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.